Concordia Publishing House's annual Fall Warehouse Sale is both online and in store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. November 1st through the 4th. You'll find major cost savings on books, music, Bibles, educational resources, and more. Concordia Publishing House's Fall Warehouse Sale, cph.org, and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's Fall Warehouse Sale, November 1st through the 4th.
We think of local schools, but our local schools really aren't that locally controlled anymore. They're more like outposts for a big national chain.
When scripture is dethroned, something else will always be enthroned in its place.
This doesn't make any sense to me because you've been saying that we take the Bible literally, but not on this topic. And it was at this point where the Baptist pastor just looked at me in his office and said, well, it would be silly to think it's his body and blood.
This incessant quibbling over doctrine is interfering with the unity of the church and with church fellowship. That's nonsense. We have no fellowship with God apart from the divine word, which Jesus delivered to his apostles.
Lutherans at the Old Latin School in Lutherstadt Wittenberg love Issues Etc.
It is All Saints Day, and let's be honest, even though we are to celebrate all saints, living and dead, our fascination is with those who have gone before us, who have gone on in the faith to, as we rightly say, their eternal reward in Jesus Christ. They have gone on. They are there. I think about my dear sainted mother. She is, at this very moment, as I speak, in the nearer presence of Christ, having for all eternity, awaiting the resurrection, of course, having for all eternity the very thing that she had longed for and wanted as a Christian woman her whole life, the thing that she wanted for all her children as well. Our fascination on All Saints Day remains with those who have gone on before us. We say the church triumphant. It's a great opportunity to study a church triumphant hymn. Oh, how blessed are they? We'll be doing that in just a minute. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this All Saints Day, November the 1st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Will Whedon will join us for the first hour. We'll study that hymn. Then in hour two of Issues Etc., we conclude Issues Etc. Reformation Week and our series Paths to Lutheranism. We'll talk about a path from mainline liberal Protestantism with Dr. Jean Edward Veith, author of the book Spirituality of the Cross, The Way of the First Evangelicals. Joining us to study the Church Triumphant Hymn, Oh, How Blessed Are They, Pastor Will Whedon, assistant pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's host of the daily short-form Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, and he's author of the book Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. Pastor Whedon, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. What a joy to be with you.
So this is one of my favorite weekends in the church year. This is one of my favorite celebrations in the church. It's also one of the most difficult ones. Anyone who has lost a loved one, it's difficult and happy at the same time.
Joyous.
In a way that only a Christian can experience. Where has this hymn been for our celebration all this time?
You're not going to like my answer. It's been in the hymnal. The whole time it was in your TLH and LW and LSB, so it's always been there. But this is similar to what happens to a lot of our great hymns, like at Christmas, that tend to get sort of shoved to side because there's so many great songs to sing on that day. There's only so many slots for All Saints Day, right? So a lot of people, no one's going to recommend pushing out of the way for all the saints who from their labors rest. That's the crown piece in the middle of the service, right?
Or Jerusalem the Golden.
Jerusalem the Golden. What, are you going to dump a Ye Watchers and Ye Holy One? You're not going to do that. I mean, so you look at the services and service hymns, and you're like, well, where are you going to possibly fit this? And because this hymn has a tone about it that is more reflective than triumphant, more pensive than just overtly joyous. It's beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. And it is triumphant it celebrates the triumph over death that every Christian has in Christ. But there's no question that this hymn itself is a little bit more of a somber take on the day than what most people expect for the day. And I suspect that's why it sort of got left in the hymnal where it's been all these years hiding.
What can you tell us about the author of Oh, How Blessed Are They?
Okay, the author of this piece was Simon Dach, D-A-C-H. He was born on the 29th of July in 1605 in what we call today Lithuania, but what was back then part of the Duchy of Prussia. And he died back in Prussia also in Königsberg, 1659. If you think about those years, that obviously square in the center of this poor man's life is the raging 30 Years' War. And that absolutely marked, formed him in so many ways. He wasn't a rich guy originally. I mean, born in humble circumstances, but he did receive a really good classical education at the cathedral school in Königsberg. And then he went on to the Latin schools, both in Wittenberg and in Magdeburg. And it's kind of fascinating that he literally gets out of Magdeburg only 5 years before the sack, the rape of Magdeburg during the 30 Years' War that wipe out that metropolitan city and make it be, you know, just a heap of rubble for a very, very, very long time. He ends up going to be a private tutor for a while. He is a co-rector for a while at the cathedral school. But he finally finds his real vocation, what I think had always been his heart. What do you do when what you really want to be when you grow up is a poet? I'm sure parents said that to kids back then, like they say to them now. It's like, you can't be serious, right? Yeah. But he actually did get an appointment to the chair of poetry at the Albertina University in Königsberg. And he held that post from 1639 until his death in 1650, whatever. I can't remember what the exact date was there. But he also got his doctorate at the university the year after he was appointed the chair of poetry. So he was, you know, threw himself into academia. And his poetry writing was not just like, you know, poetry writing's really gone downhill, right? You know, ever since Whitman sort of popularized just throwing lines on a page and calling it poetry. But he had to learn all these classical forms. And so he was writing poetry, not just in his own native German. He was writing poetry in Latin and in Greek. And a lot of the great classical poets actually did that. He formed a very prominent band with a whole bunch of other poets from Königsberg. Probably the most famous one among them is Georg Weisel, but also Johann Franck. So some of the great poets of the day, how often that happens, that these great minds spur each other on as they work together. From 1638 to 1650, he had 8 books of poems published. And of all the 200 poems in that collection, 125 of them were his alone, not just these other writers. So, you know, very, very prolific. But he was by no means a strong man, always a frail guy. And with the 30 Years' War, I mean, he constantly was having friends being reported killed, dead, lost. It sort of marks, I think, a lot of how he writes. The particular hymn we're going to look at today, the 6th stanza hymn, was written in 1635. It was for the funeral of Job Leibner, who happened to be the mayor of Königsberg-Altstadt. And it first appeared like a, you know, big old broadsheet setting. And it later made its way into several hymnals. And that's how we get it. Now, I do want to say a word about the tune. As I was researching it, I was kind of dismayed to learn that Johann Kruger, the great guy who cooperated with Paul Gerhardt and all the great Lutheran tunes, he wrote a tune for this text that absolutely mirrors the text in the way that it just lifts your eyes to the skies. It's just fabulous. It's not the one that our hymnal committee chose. It wasn't in TLH, granted. It wasn't in LW, and it wasn't in LSB. And I asked Dr. Hurl about it. He says, well, we just didn't know that tune, so I was thinking that we wouldn't include it. But man, if I could go back and redo it. If you listen to it, if you search this text and by its German name, on the internet, Obiselige, you will find some great box settings.
What are the primary biblical texts that are behind? We'll talk about a lot of them here as we study stanza by stanza, but where would you introduce the hymn biblically?
Well, obviously, there's one passage that stands out more than anything else. He's quoting from the book of Revelation, right? Revelation 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. So here's the passage. Blessed are the dead. That's the form of it all. And before you start, actually, are you going to plan on reading the passages all the way through verse by verse?
Yeah, we'll read them and then listen to them.
Let me just throw this out. If you have your old TLH, you might want to just note that throughout this entire text, it was originally addressed to the saints in heaven. So it's not, blessed are they, blessed are ye. And I think it was to run away from the old-fashioned language that they stripped out the ye's and put in they's. And I think that really weakened the text. By the way, this hymn was translated into English by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow.
Wow.
And when one of the great American poets bothers to give you a translation of a hymn, you might should leave it alone. It's an amazing job that he did with it. But they, as it is in our book, it's put into the third person rather than into the second person.
Does that mean that there are stanzas missing?
No. All the stanzas are here of the original hymn. As we'll talk as we work our way through it, it did call forth another hymn in answer.
What was that?
Well, if you have your Walther's Hymnal, that wonderful little book you can get from CPH, translated by Matthew Carver, who is simply an amazing gift to Christ Church. He blesses us in more ways than you can even begin to count. There is a second set of stanzas that provide the... Okay, so the first stanzas, or the first hymn is all addressed to the saints in heaven. This one is the saints in heaven talking back to the saint on earth who's talking to them. And it's a beautiful dialogue. And this is what, when Bach gets a hold of it, he plays with this dialogue back and forth so that it's a single voice speaking to the saints in heaven. But when you get the music back from heaven, it's a chorus coming back. Beautiful stuff.
On the other side of the break, we will hear the first stanza of Oh, How Blessed Are They. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. Oh, how blessed are they whose toils are ended, who through death have unto God ascended. They have arisen from the cares which keep us still in prison. Pastor Will Whedon is host of the daily short-form Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. We'll study that stanza after this.
Do you want to spend more time in God's Word, but your tight schedule doesn't permit you to sit down with your Bible? Do you sometimes find the Bible confusing? Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. You can listen and study anytime, anywhere, on your commute, at the gym, or while doing housework. Learn more at thewordendures.org. TheWordEndures.org.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Declaring to you the whole counsel of God, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Trinity Lutheran Church in Vilonia, Indiana, is a mighty fortress that stands as a bulwark against the attacks of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. We are located in Jackson County, about 2 miles south of historic Fort Vilonia on State Road 135. Join us every Lord's Day for Sunday school and Bible class at 8:30 and divine service at 9:30. Come and receive the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation from God's Valiant One, Jesus Christ, who has conquered death and holds the field forever.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Stanza one of the hymn, Oh, How Blessed Are They. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. What would you say about this first stanza?
Well, we've already commented on the basis for which it is, you know, drawn from Revelation 14, verse 13. But I think also hanging in the background of this stanza, when you hear talk about they've arisen from the cares that hold us still in prison, you have also something like Hebrews 4. Verses 9 to 10. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. That's especially precious to me. My grandmother's grandmother, her grave, she's behind the church, the only one behind the church in all of Richardsville Cemetery. That text is on her gravestone. There remains a rest for the people of God. I mean, whoever carved that on her gravestone made the exact same connection that the author of this hymn is making. There's this beautiful rest that comes for the people of God, because you rest in his finished work, the finished work of Jesus. Just like God rested on the seventh day, Christians rest from their labors in the accomplished salvation of Jesus Christ. They can truly lay down to eternal rest at peace.
I want you to talk about the fact that what we celebrate and what we are so thankful for on behalf of those who have gone before us in the faith, that they rest from their labors, is just the beginning of what is yet to come in the resurrection. Now they are in Christ's presence, but they await a consummation along with the rest of us that is even better than heaven, so to speak.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things that doesn't compute numerically. He gives us everything and then he promises us more, to quote our dear Dr. Nagel. And that's exactly what happens here with the, I mean, you think, how could it get, people have always said this in Bible class. They're like, well, why would I want more than heaven? How could I want more than that? And it's like, well, because he has more for you than that. He has all, it's not just that your soul is drawn into his presence and that you get to enjoy that. It's that he really does have great, he has more interest in our bodies than we do, I think. You know, he's like, no, I took on human flesh and I was raised from the dead precisely so that I could raise your bodies from the dead and fill them with my own endless life. So when you think it can't get any better, he's like, yeah, just sit back and watch this. And the resurrection comes at you. And that is indeed one of the great joys that celebrate it on All Saints, that it's not over until that moment where faith, everything that we're doing now is by faith, not by sight. But when Christ returns in glory, what really is now is going to be shown to everybody, and we'll actually see what is. And when that moment happens, we'll actually literally see it in our bodies, and how unbelievably cool that'll be.
It's 1 John. It's yes. We are children of God. It does not yet appear
what we will be. We can't even wrap our minds around that, right? I mean, we can read some of what Scripture says about it. Paul says you're going to have a spiritual body, and you're thinking, oh, so it doesn't mean a real body? And he says, no. It's a real body, but it's a body that's so much in tune with the Holy Spirit of God that it does all these weird, I mean, think about what Christ does with it. We'll be like him. We'll see him like he is. What does Christ do with this very real body? They could touch it. They could touch him, put their fingers in it, and then he could literally appear out of nowhere and disappear at an instant and come through closed doors. And that doesn't make any sense. How can you do that with a real body? I remember having a parishioner once in North Carolina argue with me. Ruby told me, she says, well, he can't have a real body because you can't do that with the real body. It's like, oh, yes, you can, because he does and you will. So be at peace.
Yeah, instead of deciding what a body does or doesn't do, and try and apply it to Jesus. Let's just see what Jesus does or doesn't do and say that's
and that's what we're going to be able to do. How incredible is that?
It's an odd phrase. Who through death have unto God ascended?
Ascended, yeah.
I'm picturing him thinking about this man, this the person mayor, who has died, and thinking even death becomes now the avenue that God uses to bring his people to himself.
As another hymn has it, thou hast made our death a portal. Yeah, this is the... Well, in his wonderful essay on this particular hymn in the New Hymnal Companion, Cantor Resch, he points out that of all the hymns that you might sing at a funeral, if you sing this, he says it would be absolutely lost on an unbeliever. They couldn't understand what you're singing about. It would make absolutely no sense. And things like that kind of language, that you made our death actually be a way of ascension to you. This is our entrance into, as you put it, your nearer presence. We actually get to go through death to where God is even closer than he is now. And mind blowing for people. Or but then it changes how you think of death, right?
Yeah, the funeral rite even says that the grave has become a portal. It's become a door.
Right.
It's not what it appears to be.
Right. It looks like it's nothing but a holder for bones to decay and be worm food. And the answer is no. It's actually the way that we enter into this nearer presence of God. We ascend to the presence of God in death itself, which is just a powerful comfort. Johann Gerhard in his beautiful Schola Pietatis has a great meditation on this, how a Christian should learn to think about death as his ascension to God. And so when that, he says, then you get how St. Paul would go on to say, Philippians 1, verses 21 to 23, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet, which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. Again, an unbeliever hearing that would go, that makes no sense. You're saying it would be better to die. And, you know, not just in the sense of, you know, get me out of my suffering in this life. No, in the sense of, you know, to be in that nearer presence of Christ. That's the joy.
Stanza 2. We are still as in a dungeon living, still oppressed with sorrow and misgiving. Our undertakings are but toils and troubles and heartbreakings. I like Easter, the season of Easter, for a lot of reasons, but a part of the reason is because we get to pull out this kind of imagery of my favorites are that this planet is just one vast cemetery. It's a field of death, or that this is a prison planet, and we fallen creatures, except for Christians, aren't aware of the fact that we're behind bars, but Christ has entered into the cemetery. He has entered as the only free man into a whole planet of prisoners. That's the picture here, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you hear the same thing in Franz Mann's great, Oh God, O Lord of Heaven and Earth, right? You know, he comes into this hall of death. He, the free man, and he comes to break down the walls. Now, that's important because it is possible people, and I'm betting that Longfellow heard it this way, and he'd be wrong to hear it this way, that the dungeon in which we're living is the body. Wrong. This is not a Platonic statement. It's not the picture of your body as prison and being set free by death sets you free from your body. The dungeon is actually exactly the way you described it. The siege of planet Earth in which we live, held under the power of the enemy, but in which God has begun an invasion and has started springing the prisoners. And this springing of the prisoners is what's happening with the death of each Christian, right? They get sprung from the prison and placed into this beautiful, can I picture it this way? A holding tank of heaven waiting for the full consummation, but already given bliss beyond anything we could ever imagine. And it's worthwhile to remember, as I said, 30 years of this man's life, his entire adult life, basically, lived under the shadow of this horrible, tragic war with Christians slaughtering each other right and left. So when he thought about life, he could not think of it as a time of suffering. Think about how Paul would put it, Acts 14, verse 22, went about confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and telling them that through much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom of God. And it's not just in Acts. John himself, writing the great introduction to the book of Revelation, calls himself, I, John, your brother, your partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Christ Jesus. In the tribulation, people that always want to make the trib, right, be something later on down the road. It's like, nope, John says, it's going on right now. It's the trouble that comes to people in this world from Satan, in this world that they experience. And Jesus was flat out clear on this in John 16:33. He said, I'm saying these things to you so that you can have peace in me, because in this world, you will have tribulation. You are going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.
I think a little hint here also, our undertakings are but toils and troubles and heartbreakings of the curse that God speaks to Adam that is then removed, but life doesn't get any easier. It just means now the toils and the troubles and the heartbreakings are sufferings with Christ instead of suffering on account of sin.
Yeah, I mean, nobody has a more beautiful twist on that, if you will, than what Luther does in the traditional Lutheran marriage service, where he lists out all the blessings of marriage, and he says, and what's the cross laid on marriage because of the fall into sin? He goes into it and lays it out here. So there's this cross that comes, but it gets to be totally transformative because it suffered with Christ, right?
I also want to deal with this issue of oppression, because that's such a loaded word in our political climate. We think about oppression. It's always political kind of oppression, or one man oppressing another.
It's so hard for me to take the whole thing seriously. I mean, I know we shouldn't laugh at it, but I just can't help but think this is so stupid. I can't believe people actually pay attention to the people talking like this. You just want to say, grow up. But certainly it's become like the paradigm. You want, everybody needs to be oppressed by someone or they can't be happy. So, you know, give me my group that oppresses me, and then I can stand with them against you meanies, the rest of the world.
But there is an oppression. And again, the unbelieving world is blind to it entirely.
Mm-hmm.
But there is an oppression which we suffer.
A real oppression.
And it's not from flesh and blood.
Nope. And it is the most, it can lead you to such devastating inner darkness, right? This oppression. It really does lay on you so heavily. When Satan wants to put you through that, all he really has to do is take off your blinders for a little bit and let you actually live with your sin and show it to you and show you. And by the time he's done that, he's got you to absolute despair. If you've not learned to hold on to the word of God and counter the temptation of Satan with the promises of Christ and his perfect righteousness, that just becomes absolute, complete, total despair. You've seen yourself, you know that you're helpless, you know you're hopeless, and you're just ready to throw in the towel. That's oppression.
I just interviewed a remarkable woman earlier this week who talked about waking up in the middle of the night. She was Dutch Reformed, and honestly wondering, with true anxiety that grew over the years, whether or not she was elect. She was oppressed by the devil through this false teaching that she had believed.
Yep. I mean, he's the master of it, right? He is the absolute master of it, and he likes to work, especially in that middle of the nighttime.
When we come back from this break, we're going to be looking at stanza 3 of this great church triumphant hymn, Oh, How Blessed Are They. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. He's assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he is now host of the daily short-form Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. If you enjoy our hymn studies, be sure to check out the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Praise and Honor, Hymn-Inspired Devotions. Praise and Honor contains a devotional for each stanza from hymns like God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. We praise and acknowledge you, O God, and more. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Praise and honor hymn-inspired devotions.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We are what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union is committed to serving you and to serving the church. Lutheran FCU serves you by offering mortgage and auto loans, checking and savings accounts, credit and debit cards. Lutheran FCU serves the church through its Ministry of the Month program, October's recipient, the National Lutheran Cross Country Championship. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church. Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Hamilton, Ohio. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Filer, Idaho. Redford Lutheran, Redford, Michigan. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. And Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying the church triumphant hymn, Oh, How Blessed Are They. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. It's a new month, and we have a new Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November. It's a great one, and I've also often said to our listeners, when you're singing a hymn in church, you should be listening for the sermon in the hymn. That's exactly what this latest book has done, called Praise and Honor, Hymn-Inspired Devotions. The author has taken 14 well-loved hymns and then stanza-by-stanza written devotions based upon those stanzas. Hymns like God's Own Child, I gladly say it, let us ever walk with Jesus, stricken, smitten, and afflicted. We praise you and acknowledge you, O God, and many others. You can find out more about Praise and Honor, Hymn-Inspired Devotions at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November. Here is stanza 3 of Oh, How Blessed Are They. They, meanwhile, are in their chambers sleeping, quiet and set free from all our weeping. No cross or sadness there can hinder their untroubled gladness. So in stanza 2, we have our current plight contrasted with the saints who have gone before us.
Yeah, and especially if you remember when you get to the way the hymn really reads, ye meanwhile are in your chambers sleeping, quiet and set free from all your weeping. No cross or sadness there can hinder your untroubled gladness. So, you know, there's a wistful way. He's looking at them and saying, and well, we have all this trouble here and all this heartache and all this grief. What a comfort to know that it's good with you all. And in their chambers, sleeping. People sometimes struggle over that because they're like, well, we don't believe in soul sleep. Well, he doesn't mean that their souls are sleeping. He's already been kind of clear on that. But he does mean that their bodies are sleeping, waiting the day of the resurrection. But they are quiet and they've been set free from all weeping. Think about how Jesus would say, it was the most common metaphor he used all the time, right? When it came to death, he would say about the little girl, she is not dead, but sleeping. Because he wants to teach us to realize that when Jesus is on the scene, death is only a slumber. It's only a sleep, a quiet slumber, as Luther would say. Our friend Lazarus is sleeping, he says in John 11, but I go to waken him. And even in that sleep, though, the soul, he said, still is very much cognizant and aware of what's going on with God in a way that we can't begin to understand. I mean, we can't line it all out and say this makes sense to us. But you get a flavor of it in like Revelation 7, verses 15 to 17. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night. It means worship him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. How many times in Scripture we come across that beautiful promise? You know, God promises that at the being gathered into his near presence, the sorrows are going to be wiped away. They will not scar you. The scars you bear will be glorified. And it also reminds me an awful lot of Psalm 30 and verses 11 and 12. You know, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness to the end, that my glory may sing praises to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. That's really the song of the dead. So many of the Psalms, you don't even get them until you realize, oh, this is a psalm that we're to sing on the other side of the resurrection. That's what this psalm. I'm practicing resurrection music right now. That's what you're doing with that psalm. You're taking the place of the dead, proclaiming that.
With about a minute here, would this be a good stanza for someone to carry with them to the graveside, where the body is in repose, where the body rests?
Mm-hmm.
So many people go to that graveside, and they go because of that deep longing they have to reconnect with the person that they have loved, with maybe better than simply going to talk to them, which is not necessarily a bad thing. Go with this hymn stanza here.
Yeah, no, carry that in your heart. And then, of course, run to the altar where you will gather with them at the throne of the Lamb and where you will be with them. You're nearer to them at the altar when you receive communion than you are when you are by their body in the grave. That is truly their body, and it's awaiting the day of resurrection. But when you gather with them at the altar, you're gathering with their souls in the presence of God.
It just shows the great wisdom of the churches putting their cemeteries
right next to the door. Right.
Why have it in two different places?
Yep.
Here is stanza four. Christ has wiped away their tears forever. They have that for which we still endeavor. By them are chanted songs that ne'er to mortal ears were granted. This has everything that that book of Revelation passage you mentioned at the beginning has, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And even more, I think, you know, when you think about wiped away their tears, the one I already read, but also think about in Revelation 21, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold,
The dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." He also said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And that they have that for which we now still endeavor, doesn't that bring to your mind how Paul would write to the Philippian Christians in chapter 3, starting at verse 12? "Not that I've already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That upward call through death. To hear death as God saying, "Come to me, child, come to me." And that's just absolutely...
And he ends that passage by saying, "For which Christ has taken hold of me."
Of me. He's grabbed hold of me, right? For this purpose, for this end. And then the song that by them are chanted songs that ne'er to mortal ears are granted, or again, by you are chanted songs that ne'er to mortal ears were granted. Doesn't it remind you of the way back in Revelation, we're sort of living in Revelation of this hymn, we tend to do that on All Saints Day, Revelation 14, verses 1 to 3, "I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000, 12 times 12 times 10 times 10, who had the name of His name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the roar of many waters, like the sound of loud thunder. The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders." These words: "No one could learn that song except the 144,000. Who had been redeemed from the earth." You're old enough to remember, "God gave me a song that the angels cannot sing. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb." There it is. You know, it's that same beautiful, beautiful picture. We should add, you asked me if there were any omitted stanzas. There really was one. There's one here at this point after this. So right after what we just heard, TLH has this stanza. "Who would then not depart with gladness to inherit heaven for earthly sadness? Who here would languish longer in bewailing and in anguish?" So this rhetorical question to ourselves, it's like, oh man, look at how good they've got it, those lucky dogs, and here we struggle. Better to be with them. Why would I want to stick it here? I want to go there to be with them.
When we come back, we'll be looking at stanza 5. "Come, O Christ, and loose the chains that bind us. Lead us forth and cast this world behind us. With you, the anointed, finds the soul its joy and rest appointed." We're studying the church triumphant hymn, "Oh, How Blessed Are They." Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand, I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. Find out the benefits of becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron on the support donate page at issuesetc.org. Click the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation: Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
You're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Stanza 5 of the Church Triumphant Hymn, Oh, How Blessed Are They. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. This is just the prayer of the church, isn't it?
I mean, we've been dancing through Revelation. Where are you going to end? But where Revelation ends, right? You know, so think about Revelation 22, that big great amen at the end. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. And the church responds, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And that's all this stanza really is. It's this plea for Christ to come and break the chains that are binding us to corruption, to decay, to sin, to set us free into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Kind of like Romans 8 on steroids there. And, you know, I think it's worthwhile to note that in this last stanza, the German actually uses different images than come across in the English. If you're translate it literally, it would be, with you, O Son, is the pious soul's joy and habitation. O Son, as in S-U-N. So, Zona und Wona are rhyming, the two rhyming things there in German, which is really mega cool. Where does the soul have its joy? Where does the soul have its home? Its joy and its home is in the bright light that is Christ.
The Son of Righteousness.
The Son of Righteousness that rises with healing in his wings. Yeah, at the last day as Malachi pictures it, right?
I like the idea, the imagery, lead us forth and cast this world behind us.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of kooky eschatology out there, but this image that Christ is going to raise us and with one fell swoop cast away this world and recreate it for our sakes again is very comforting.
Yeah, this. We want to be really careful that as we speak of this, we don't. I mean, he doesn't create new things. He makes all things new. So this world he's going to make new, and he's going to do it, Second Peter says, by, you know, literally dissolving the whole thing and reconstituting it, a new heavens and a new earth. So you can hear in John's epistle, 1 John 2:17, he'll say the world is passing away and all the lusts, the desires thereof. But the one who does the will of God, that one abides forever. And this picture, too, of calling us to enter into joy. Think about how much, I mean, in the parable of Christ in Matthew 25, enter into the joy of your master. Or Isaiah 35, one of my favorite passages in all scripture, in verse 10, the ransom to the Lord return. They come to Zion with singing, everlasting joy, crowning their heads in sorrow and sighing, being scared away, turning tail and running away from the people of God.
Let's hear the entire hymn, Oh, How Blessed Are They.
Through death and to God us
Pastor Whedon, your final thoughts on this hymn.
All right, so if that hymn is what we would say to the blessed dead as we think about the bliss that's theirs, what do they say to us? I mentioned this answering hymn that came a century later. Listen to these words. Truly, we to glory have arisen from all cares that held us in a prison. Earthly toil ended, we unto our God have now ascended. We no more as in a dungeon wander. God has taken us to heaven yonder. Tears and frustrations are the sum of earthly expectations. Oh, our destiny, how blessed, how wondrous to be free from earthly pain so ponderous. Naught but rejoicing fills us now, our thanks and praises voicing. Ah, what words, what language might we borrow to describe our freedom from all sorrow? Naught else but singing of the angels in our ears is ringing. In the world, man's heart's torn with anguish. Constantly his soul in pain must languish. But Jesus' merit, death a door has made, life to inherit. Dearest friends, we say farewell with gladness. May our death not cause you grief or sadness. By Christ invited, you and we shall be again united. Is that beautiful or what? I mean, it's just a stunning answer back to the cry of the original hymn. And like I said, Bach does a great job going back and forth with that. It's very cool.
Finally, with about a minute here, set our minds on the true comfort, the comfort that you just expressed through that hymn of those who have received this reward in Christ awaiting the resurrection. But it's still ours even now as we await it.
Yeah, we've already gotten a foretaste of it and a promise of it, a guarantee of it. Every time we receive the Lord's body and blood, we are receiving that immortal pledge that his, you know, our bodies will be raised from the dead on the last day. And the Spirit himself lives in us as the down payment of the fullness of our redemption. We eagerly await for that glorious moment when we're going to, where everything that's really ours right now becomes visible to us, and we join in the saints around the throne singing the praises of the Lamb forever. The All Saints celebration begins that never ends.
Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hemel, Illinois. He formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's host of the daily short-form Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, and he's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. Be sure to listen to and subscribe and review Pastor Whedon's new Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, thewordendures.org, thewordendures.org. Will, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Todd.
In Hour 2 of Issues Etc. Reformation Week comes to its conclusion and our series, Paths to Lutheranism. We'll talk with Dr. Gene Edward Veith, author of the book Spirituality of the Cross, The Way of the First Evangelicals, about his path from mainline liberal Protestantism.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.